إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him, I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify, O believers, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, they must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we welcome for continuation of explanation of the book Bulughul Maram, attainment of the objective for Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. Today, inshallah, this is our seventh class for the sixth album. And we have a new chapter, which is chapter 1, concerning Al-Mudabbir wal-Mukatib wa Umm al-Walad. And this in the book, page number 506, and hadith 1229. Our chapter is dealing with three terms or three terminology. Number one, Al-Mudabbir. Number two, Al-Mukatib. Number three, Umm al-Walad. Al-Mudabbir, which is the human being that is slave, that his master had promised his freedom, but after death. So he will tell him that the moment that I die, you are free. So as long as his master is still alive, he's still in captivity. The second person is Al-Mukatab. Al-Mukatab, a slave which made a contract with his master to free by himself. So whenever the slave pay this amount of money, he will be free. So they wrote agreement together that I'm going to pay you such amount of money to give me my freedom. So as long this amount of money is not being paid, he's still in slavery until he pays the last dime of it. And the last term that we have, Ummul Walad. Ummul Walad, that a slave female under slavery, and she had a boy or a girl by her master. So we call her Ummul Walad, the mother of the boy. Okay, a slave under her master, that she has a boy or a girl from her master. And this is what we're going to be dealing with for the chapter. Hadith 1229 عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه ان رجلا من الانصار اعتق غلاما له عن دبر ولم يكن له مال غيره فبلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال من يشتريه مني فاشتراه نعيم ابن عبد الله بثمن 100 درهم. متفق عليه. وفي لفظ للبخاري فاحتاج. وفي رواية النسائي وكان عليه دين فباعه ب800 درهم فأعطاه وقال اقضي دينك. This hadith which reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, so the hadith is authentic. There is another narration with addition which in the collection of Imam al-Nasa'i, which stating that the man had a debt. So this hadith relating that a man among the people of Al-Ansar, he had gave a freedom to his slave upon his death. That means when the master die, that this person will be free. So this means the master is still alive, but this is like a future promise. This information had reached the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this man from Ansar had made this promise to his slave. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this news, say, who would like to buy this slave from me? Na'im, son of Abdullah, he paid 800 dirham for it. So the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sold the slave. The narration of al-Bukhari say fahtaja, that means the owner of this slave, he became needy later on. And the narration of Imam al-Nasa'i say this man he owed somebody a debt. So what we see in this case, that the master had made a promise to free his slave upon his death. Okay, but here this man are in debt. Alaykum as-salam. as a result of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like a person, because the slave is like a property that you own, so you shouldn't be owning property beyond your needs while you owning the people money. Why you don't go and dispose some of, or sell, or get rid of some of this property and pay the debt that you own the people? So from this hadith also we see that the imam of the state, or the head of the Muslim community, the Muslim community, has the right to discharge or to do something in the property of the members of the community if they did not handle it in the proper term. Because this man, like somebody who has business but he still owns people money, so you're supposed to be paying the people their money and get out of this debt. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took the slave and sold him and paid the people their debt. And also from this hadith we understand the permissibility of making a promise to somebody who's under your possession as a slave to be freed only upon the death of the owner or the master. Second hadith, hadith 1230, وعن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جدي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: المكاتب عبد ما بقي عليه من مكاتبته درهم. And we explain that المكاتب is a person who had a draw agreement between him and his slave to free himself by paying such amount of money. Whatever, how much is this amount of money, they can agree about it. But as long he's still paying these payments, okay, little bit by little bit, he is still a slave and he's still in slavery, and he's not going to be free until he pay the last penny of it. The hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood, Sunan Imam Abu Dawood, and also in the collection of Imam Ahmad. And the hadith is hasan, is good, acceptable. Hadith 1231 in page number 507. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا كان لإحداكن مكاتب وكان عنده ما يؤدي فلتحتجب منه. Okay. That hadith reported by أم سلمة. And the hadith is a collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasa'i, Al-Kubra, and Ibn Majah, which is saying a slave who entered into agreement or contract for freeing himself, okay, and is owned and possessed by a woman. So as soon as they draw this kind of agreement, that she need to cover from him. She need to cover from him. Because before, as long as he is her slave, alright, so he's like a family member. He can see her in her regular clothes in the house, like without a headpiece, or see her arms, her legs, okay? Because this will be like a hardship upon a woman to be covering 24 hours inside her house. So the male slaves will be treated as in concerning the aura of the woman, alaykum salatullah, as a member of the family, like as example her son or her brother. But in case this slave, he want to free himself and his owner is a woman, as soon he draws this kind of contract that she need to consider him, okay, as a foreigner or a stranger, and she start to cover in front of him. Because you know, after this person is free, he can even propose to her and he can marry her, okay? And he became a person who's free to marry her and became non-mahram to her, so she have to start cover in front of him.
That's the master and the female slave.
No, the master is a female.
Okay.
And the slave is a male.
Okay.
Alright?
Okay.
Yeah. So if he draws this kind of agreement that he want to buy his freedom from her, is lawful, and Islam encourages this, and she should, you understand, allow him to do this, that means he can go and work outside, wherever he want work, and he makes these payments, a certain amount of they agree about, $1,000, $5,000, whatever they agree about to be the price of his freedom. But as soon as he starts this kind of contract, now she should start cover in front of him, not to be in exposed in front of him anymore.
So it is halal in Islam for a female to be
a owner of a slave. Okay. But she could not have intercourse with him.
Okay.
Okay? The man can have a female slave and he can have intercourse with her.
Even that's his slave?
It is his slave, this called right hand with this. Okay? So he will have intercourse with her with no marriage. This is his. But not for anybody else to have intercourse with this girl. Okay?
Because that's his property.
Exactly, this is his property. His wife is his wife, but his slave girl, right hand, but this is his property. Okay? Hadith number 1232 عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يؤدى المكاتب بقدر ما عتق منه دية الحر وبقدر ما راق منه دية العبد. Okay. This hadith which reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, the hadith is the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Nasai. The hadith is authentic. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying what the meaning is, the blood weight of a slave who had made an agreement to buy his freedom, which we just call him al-mukatab, okay, and had been killed, is paid as a rate paid for a free man, as much as has paid for the purchase money, and as a rate paid for a slave, as the remaining is, what is this, okay. So let's say that a person had entered agreement to free himself. And this we call al-mukatab. He made agreement with his master regardless male or female. And now he making payments, okay? He's still a slave until he finish paying the last penny. During this period, something happened to him, okay? So he had free himself certain portion of his life. As example, let's say that he pay half of the $10,000 they agree about. You see, he pay $5,000. So we can consider like him almost like half slave, half free. So if something happened to him, now he will get the blood money of half of this and get of free, okay? So blood money, like we say, the slave of if half of the free person, okay? And that he got killed, okay? So now the we his people or his master or his family wants the blood money. He would get half of, he is half slave, half free. So you're getting, so half of the slave is like, understand, $50,000. So what is half of this?
20.
Okay. And being the other half is free, what is 50,000? You're getting half of this. Okay. So he get accordingly what he had paid out of his freedom. If there is a blood money, or somebody as an example poke his eye, okay, and we say for one eye that he get the price of 50 camels. So now we're talking about what is half of 50 camels, okay? This is the way how it's supposed to be done, okay? This is the way how it's said in English, or is not clear?
Yes, that was clear enough.
Okay. Hadith 1233, in page number 508, وعن عمرو بن الحارث أخي جويرية أم المؤمنين رضي الله تعالى عنها قال ما ترك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند موته درهما ولا دينارا ولا عبدا ولا أمة ولا شيئا إلا بغلته البيضاء وسلاحه وأرضا جعلها صدقة رواه البخاري. This hadith reported by Amr ibn al-Harith, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. It's saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Rasulullah sallam didn't leave behind him anything as when he died. Okay? Not money, not a property, not a slave, not a female or female slave, okay? Except his donkey or what he was riding, okay? And his arm or his whipping, and a piece of property, land, which he make it for charitable to be distributed or the benefit to go to the needy people. This shows you here two things, okay? Number one, that the concern of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more in the akhirah than collecting this life, material thing. Although he was the Prophet of Allah, but he was not concerned about collecting properties and things like this. He's the head of the whole state, the Islamic state. But here a person die, all what he have, a ride, a whipping, and this it. Okay? He didn't have houses, and he didn't have all these millions of dollars in the bank and all this stuff. And this is should be example for the believers after him, especially those who are in a position of authority. Okay, not to use their authority to gain wealth and especially if they're taking things that doesn't belong to them. Okay. The second thing, why this hadith is here? Because we're talking about Umm al-Walad. We're talking about Umm al-Walad, the mother of the boy. Because by the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now his slave girl became a free immediately. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has Maria al-Qibtiyya, okay? This woman from Egypt. And she was a slave, and she gave him a child by name Ibrahim, okay? So by the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she became a mother of a son for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this gave her freedom. Okay, this gave her freedom after the death of the master. This is the reason that he bringing this hadith here.
So that goes, that hadith goes for anyone who owns a slave, if you would die, and then automatically that slave that you own,
if female slave and the master has a child from her.
Okay, so we gotta have a child.
Yes, so this child is going to be a cause of her freedom, or otherwise that she will be a possession for the rest of the family. Alright. Okay.
So what if she doesn't have any children by her master?
That means she don't have any children.
Will she still be free, or?
No, she will be like a property that the people, the family will inherit.
Okay, all right.
Same way like you inherit the car, you inherit a building, you will inherit the slaves.
No.
Okay?
No.
The next hadith 1234, reported by Ibn Abbas. The hadith is weak, we're going to leave it alone. Hadith 1234, reported by Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the hadith is weak, we leave it alone. In the last hadith in this chapter, hadith 1235. وعن سالد بن حنيف رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أعان مجاهدا في سبيل الله أو غارما في عسرته أو مكاتبا في رقبته أظله الله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. This hadith, which is reported by Sah, may Allah be pleased with him, son of Hunayf. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Al-Hakim, the hadith is authentic. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying what the meaning is, that whosoever assists a mujahid who's fighting in the cause of Allah, or a person that became a gharim, distress, okay? A person who got involved in, let's see, this kid's talking outside, please tell them to be quiet. Or a debtor when he is in distress, okay? Or a person who tried to free himself. These three people, that they are in needs. One, a person who going fi sabilillah. A person going fi sabilillah, that maybe needs somebody who take care of his family financially, okay? Because the means, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, the means of assistance that is not going to be there anymore, that he's going to leave his jobs because he have to go to fight for the cause of Allah. A person, he may became a gharim, became on debt, but he came in a debt as a result of trying to make peace between the Muslims. Okay? That two families, two tribes, whatever it is, they have a fight, and the dispute over money. So he decided to take this upon himself. Okay? He said, okay, these people is no need for this fight. I am the grantor of this money. So he became in charge of paying this. And now, for some reason, he could not fulfill this promise. Okay? So we supposed to assist this person because he was doing this for a good cause, to try to stop this fighting among the Muslims. Okay, this is called gharim. And the third person who tried to free himself from slavery, okay, mukatab. So if a Muslim assists any one of these three people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade him under his shade in the day of judgment, which you know shade will be in that day except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that day when the sun will get so close to the head of the human being, to such a degree the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لا يكون بينها وبين رؤوس الناس إلا قدر ميل. فيقول الراوي لا أدري ميل, أي الميل المسافة أو الميل الذي تقتحل به العين, لأن هذا العود الذي يقتحل به يسمى ميل. That the Prophet of Allah وسلم informed us that in the day of judgment the sun will get so close to the head of the human being and that the people will be sweating too much, that some people their sweat will be under their knees, up to their knees, some people until their shoulders, some people the sweat will be, they be drowned in their sweat. People will be sweating according to their bad deed. Okay? So in the same time will be a special people in a special protection and shelter under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a person who assists these three people. He will be one among those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shelter them in the day of judgment. We go to chapter number 16, Kitab al-Jami'a. This book deals with al-adab, manner, discipline, behavior, which is something very important to the Muslims. And al-akhlaq, or alaykum salam, or al-adab, or behavior or discipline, is a manner of behaving regardless saying or acting. If a person behaving and acting in a certain manner that makes the people appreciate it, this is what we're talking about. This is called Kitab al-Akhlaq, or chapter of behavior, or chapter of discipline. Okay, and this is something very, very important in al-Islam, to such a degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us that in the day of judgment, the closer people to him in the day of judgment are those people who are better in their behavior in this dunya. So your behavior in this dunya, the way how you act with the others, the way how you talk to them, the way how you deal with them, okay, this, if it's good, this will bring you in a close position besides the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the day of judgment. So in page number 509, this book, you have it in your collection, next time you can bring it with you, you can follow with us if you want. In Kitab al-Adab, good behavior, page number 509 and hadith number 1236. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حق المسلم على المسلم ست, إذا لقيته فسلم عليه, وإذا دعاك فأجبه، وإذا استنصحك فانصحه، وإذا عطس فحمد الله فشمته، وإذا مرض فعده، وإذا مات فاتبعه. رواه مسلم. حديث is reported by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, the hadith is authentic. The hadith is stated about the six rights of a Muslim upon the other Muslim. That means every Muslim, male and female, you know him or you don't know him, okay, that you owe him these obligations. You owe him these obligations and he owe you the same kind of obligation. Okay? Like one hand one wash the other. The right hand, alaykum salam, wash the left hand, so the left hand also wash the right hand. Every Muslim, he has these rights upon the other Muslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you meet him, you greet him with as-salam, as-salamu alaykum, or as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, or as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay? So when you meet him, you greet him, not any greeting, it have to be as-salam, because this is a special greeting been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And this been since the time of Adam alayhi salam. And this is a dua. It's not good morning, it's not bonjour, it's not good evening, it's not hello, how you doing, what's happening. Say bro, or whatever it is, okay? It is a dua and it's a greeting. You say assalamu alaykum, that means you say, I pray that, what's going on?
No, excellent.
Oh, we ask a question usually in the end of the class, oh, if you don't mind, okay? And I try to make it very simple so people do not even have questions. Would be very simple to understand. But if you still have questions, inshallah, we entertain it in the end of the hadith, because I'm trying to remember. Okay, thank you. So, when you making this greeting, you making a promise, okay, and you making dua. You say, may the peace be upon you. You asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send peace, send mercy, send the blessings on your Muslim brother, okay? And also when you say to him assalamu alaikum, that we have to focus and think about it a little bit. You're really telling to him or to her that I promise you peace, okay? I'm not going to hit you, I'm not going to slander you, I'm not going to backbite you, I'm not going to lie against you, okay? So I'm promising you peace, okay? And you have to be expecting the same, because he say also what, wa alaykum salam. So when you promise your Muslim brother this or your Muslim sister this, don't break this promise. And the person that you greet them is giving you the same kind of greeting, which is the same promise also, the same dua. So when you meet him, you greet him with as-salam. He said, فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ وَإِذَا دَعَاكَ فَأَجِبْهُ. When a person invites you, okay, to answer this invitation, we should try to answer all the invitation to the best of our ability. So sometimes it comes to be conflict when you have a lot of friends and a lot of good brothers, okay, and this person today tea and the next person tomorrow lunch, and you see you could not do homework, you could not go to the market, you could not basically do anything when you have a good community surrounded you, okay? But sometimes, understand, due to certain obligations, we could not answer all this. But basically, there is certain things that we have too, okay? Especially walima, major occasions in our Muslim brothers and sisters' life, okay? Tea and snack and all these things, maybe you can let it go. But something special occasion like somebody getting married, they don't get married every day. Somebody having aqiqah, because they don't have a child every day, okay? So at least you should take these things in consideration and try to answer the call of this invitation, okay? So when he invites you, that you what? You answer his invitation. And وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكَ فَانْصَحُ. If he asks you for advice, okay? Now it is upon you to give him the best that you know about this action or this situation, okay? Should I give my daughter to this person or no? This is not a backbiting now, okay? Because certain times a backbiting, or what you call it, talking somebody's bad, is not backbiting. Like going in the court, and now the judge is asking you, and if you do not speak, the guilty person will be innocent, and the innocent person will be guilty. So you have to talk, alaykum salam. Otherwise this, you understand, is going to be serious. So this is not backbiting here. Same way somebody said to you, what do you know about this person? Should I give him my mother in marriage? Should I give him my sister in marriage? Should I give him my daughter in marriage? And they say, oh, I don't really want to talk. Say it in your mind, I don't really want to talk about the people. So now, say, yeah, brother, go ahead. And you know that this person, maybe you understand, he drinks or he sells drugs or whatever he is. Or he is a lazy person who doesn't work. So we have to be honest, okay? So when a person asks you your advice about something like this, you have to give him the advice. This is his right upon you as a Muslim. وَإِذَا عَطِسَ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ. If he sneezed, and listen to the condition here, فَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ. That means if a Muslim sneezed and he did not say Alhamdulillah, that now we are not obligated to say to him يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. Okay? So when he sneezed, if he say Alhamdulillah, okay, what you say يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. You don't say to him bless you. Alright? Or he sneezed and after this they say thank you. No, it have to be the proper answer. Okay? So if he sneezes and say Alhamdulillah, now you tell him what? Yarhamukallah. Because this is dua. Okay? That may Allah be mercy in you. Fashammithu. وَإِذَا مَرِضَ فَعُدْهُ. And when he falls sick, ill, it is his right upon you that you go and visit him. And the last one, وَإِذَا مَاتَ فَاتَّبِعْهُ. That when he die, you have to follow his janazah. Some of these things is must upon all of us. Some of it is fard kifaya, that some of us do it will be sufficient. As example, if somebody sneezes and say Alhamdulillah, upon all of us, everybody who heard him, to tell him Yarhamukallah. Okay? But as example, if somebody say Assalamu Alaikum, this will be enough for the, if five people came in and one person among them say Assalamu Alaikum, this is sufficient for all the jama'ah. And if somebody came and say Assalamu Alaikum and one person among all of us said Wa Alaikum Assalam, this is sufficient for all of us. But when somebody sneezed and he said Alhamdulillah, it is upon all of us to tell him Yarhamukallah. If somebody die, if a part of the community go for his burial, this will be sufficient. Does not mean have to be everybody to take off from his work to go behind the janazah. Alright? And this is basic things. And if the Muslims hold fast to the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and they try to fulfill the rights that been made upon them, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. This inshallah will be a means to ties our relationship and to make to strengthen our community. The next hadith, hadith number 1237, reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith is authentic. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. Look to those who have less than you. Don't look to those who have more than you. This will enable you to appreciate the blessings and the favor of Allah upon you. It is very, very important that we do this. Because we human being, we're always looking for more. You could not help it, you're a human being. You're always looking for more. But when you're going to feel that you're blessed, when you're going to be grateful, when you're going to be thankful, you're never going to feel that you're blessed as long as you keep looking to other people. What they have, okay? But look to those people who have less than you. When you look to those people who have less than you, now you will see that you are better than others. So now you're going to say Alhamdulillah, now you're going to thank Allah, now you're going to be grateful. But as long as you see everybody in the community have a car, a new car, I'm the only one have a old model. Everybody's car is running. I'm the only one has a car with broken muffler. But there is other people that not even have a car. You have a bike. Okay? You have a bike. So, Mr. Rafiq, you have to look to the people that do not have a bike. Is it?
No.
Yeah. But if Rafiq keep looking as example to the people who have a car, he never going to remember that he, Abdul Ma'iz, have to look to Rafiq. But if he keep looking, you see, to Anwar, okay, he's never going to appreciate his motorbed, okay? But if Abdul Majid start to look to brother Rafiq riding a bike, now he says that he feels that he has something good, better, now he'll say Alhamdulillah. Alaykum salam. So, and now, brother Rafiq doesn't look to Abdul Ma'iz, but he look to what? He will look to somebody who comes walking to the masjid because he doesn't have a car. And this is the way that we'll be able to appreciate the blessings of Allah. And this applies to the male, female, the husband, the wife, the daughters, everybody. Never look to those people who have more than you in material thing. Look to those people who have less than you in this dunya. But admire those people who have more than you in Islam. If you know more Quran, if you know more Hadith, if you try to go every day to the masjid, if they go, you understand, every year for Hajj. Those are the people that you should admire and look up to them and to try to compete with them. But never compete with somebody and keep looking at them because they have more than you in the dunya and the material thing.